Welcome all to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We play and review published adventures so you, the listener, can find out if the adventure is right for your table. We also invite special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other nerd celebrities out there. Hello, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z. In this one-shot adventure, we'll be playing through The Forbidden Trophy by Summer Fenwick. This is a level 4, level 5 adventure and is available at DM's Guild. Our special guests for this adventure are Mackenzie and Rachel from the all-new podcast Dungeon Wives. Their podcast is available at iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere you get your podcast ear candy. Now, dust off your high school yearbook and get your saddles ready as we listen to The Forbidden Trophy by Summer Fenwick. Mackenzie, you got us okay?
What?
Oh, boy.
We can hear you fine. It's just our two cats are banging against the door and their desperation to get into this room. And someone's distracting.
No. Oh, hey, guys, I'll be right back. I got the two-year-old. He's getting out of bed right now. Hold on. I'll be back in a couple.
We were dealing with our cat babies. You're dealing with your real baby.
I'll be right back.
Two-year-old rolled a 20 for stealth.
With advantage. Do you not like any of my dice, honey?
I'm a dice snob.
I know, but... Rachel's character is insane. It's stressing me out.
It's for one night only.
It's a halfling fighter with a boomerang.
Go big or go home.
Yep. Okay, we have to conduct a short interview.
All right.
Okay, so tell us about Dungeon Wives.
All right.
It's so brand spanking new. Tell us all about it.
It's so shiny and new.
I know. We have one episode out. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I don't know when this will release, but when this releases, we may have two out. I really wanted to do a podcast with Rachel because I love Rachel. If people don't know, we're dating in real life, been together for over 2 years now. And I wanted more experience DMing, and I was really inspired in building my own world and was like, I want Rachel to be the one to play in this because I'm too scared to DM for anybody else.
We just wanted to play a game together. We're like, maybe we'll record it.
So what gave you the idea of doing Dungeon Wives? I guess I want to talk more about the story than anything. So honestly, I know I posted it on Twitter. You do an amazing intro, unlike anything I've heard, and I absolutely fell in love with it right away. So just for listeners out there who haven't heard this podcast yet, which shame on you, you should listen to it already. You start off in a tavern, and that is like the most common place to do it, but it's on fire and all hell's breaking loose, and I'm like, this is gold.
Yeah, I just...
You were so excited about that. You've been wanting to use that opening...
For like 2 years.
Literally 2 years looking for the right campaign to do it with.
Yeah, I used to play a game with my dad and a bunch of his old D&D buddies. I got too busy with life to keep doing it, but I used to play with them, and we would trade off DMs a lot. And they were super classic D&D players. And I remember I was trying to plan if I DM'd for them what I would do. And I just kind of thought that'd be funny. I was like, well, the whole thing is we begin at a tavern that everybody knows. And then I was like, I want the tavern to just be on fire. And I want it to be a dragon. Like, I want it to be the most classic. Like, I want it to be the dragon of Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I want it to just feel classic, but new and different.
Yeah.
So I just thought of that sentence. And then I just had it in my brain for years. And then I was like, well, we're doing this podcast. I guess I'll just use this idea. And there's a lot that I can't talk about yet because it's part of the world that Rachel doesn't even know yet.
Oh.
I started just with that idea. And then, yeah, I just sort of started building my own little world. And now I'm just sort of plugging that idea into who is doing it and why they're doing it and why it matters in this world right now. And so, the Dungeon Wives, I guess, refers to us, but also these characters that we've just had for a long time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right from the get-go, in that first episode, you can really feel the dynamic between the both of you. And it's just magical. It's great. I happened to catch a post and I heard your episode 0 and I'm like, oh, all right, I'm in. And then all of a sudden, yeah, like I said, episode 1, bam, you're right in the middle of the action and you're not really sure what's about and what's up with the sister on the horse, but hey, I don't know, I'm on board. So
yeah, something that irritates me whenever I read plays or something is when the world building is shoved in your face and it's mm-hmm. I don't need all of this right now. Mm-hmm. I just
sprinkle it.
Yeah, I just need what's pertinent to the information at hand. fan, and I like the idea of the audience discovering it as Rachel does, because, like, mm-hmm. I talked to Rachel a bit about the world I've built, but not a ton, especially once I realized, I was like, oh, you're going to play in it, I want you to figure it out. And so, like, yeah, so, like, I want the audience to sort of learn things about this world as Rachel does, which is why, like, yeah, I explain, like, gods and goddesses on audio, because Rachel's also learning about them, and I made all this awesome stuff I want to tell you all right now, all of it. And I think that there's something to be said for holding back a bit and letting mm-hmm. it be sort of a slow
yes.
churn of information. Yes.
It works. It absolutely works. Well, cool, cool. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a bit, and I love it, and I wish you all the best. It honestly sounds like a winner.
Very sweet of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so for tonight, we're going to be playing The Forbidden Trophy, written by Summer Fenwick, and this is a 3 to 4 hour adventure for 4th to 5th level characters.
All right.
Yeah, sounds good.
That sounds awesome.
And yeah, let's play some D&D.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right, guys, you ready?
Yes.
Ready.
When you are.
Okay, so did everyone already introduce their characters? I'm sorry.
No.
Not yet.
All right, top of the order. Alex, go ahead.
Hello, I'm Bingo. I am your friendly elven mage.
Whoa. That's not the title I gave him. What was the title I gave him?
Bingo the Intelligent. I didn't want to come off as too much pomp and circumstance.
Very well. Next up is Jake.
All right, so you see this big reptile of a lizard folk, and he's just riding in on a giant salamander.
Holy shit.
And after a few joyous little chortles from my magnificent little mount of mine, I introduce myself as, I am Zias Ka. I am originally a defender of my tribe, sees sunrise through falling water. I am a long way from home, and I am here on a mercenary expedition.
Is that a lizard riding a lizard?
No, amphibian.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, yes, that is correct.
I guess it can go both ways.
That still feels like a weird food chain situation. I don't know.
I didn't want to come out and say it myself.
Well, I can trust him in life, and whenever he dies, I know I can trust him to fill my belly.
Judgment-free zone.
Whoa.
Such is life.
Well, don't want to let him go to waste. Okay, and Lenny.
I am Markerio, a black dragonborn cleric of the twilight. So I am just here for some fun. We'll see how it plays out.
All right. Okay, and let's go with Rachel.
Oh, God. Get ready for this.
So I got to get into the accent. I'm Verona Ironchip. I am a fighter halfling.
Do the accent. You gotta do the accent.
I gotta do the accent. Gotta commit. Gotta commit.
Commit.
Fighter halfling. I've come out of my forest to figure out who has been littering in my forest. I'm very dirty, and that's all you need to know about me.
You're right. Very dirty, but you're anti-litterers.
Well, there's good dirt and there's bad dirt.
All right.
She does have a point.
It's like the mole man from what was it, Atlantis?
Oh, you pulled that from the depths of my soul. I didn't know that was what inspired me, but I guess it was.
That's awesome. Oh, see, it pays to have kids. Watch all the cartoons. All right, and Mackenzie, lay it on us.
All right.
I'm Calliope Bravestone. I'm a halfling monk from the Monastery of the Yellow Rose. And I'm just sweet pie.
Oh, wow. You're going to have to sell that one because, you know, Texas and all.
Yellow Rose in Texas. Did you do that on purpose?
Oh, no. I made this character 2.5 years ago. I didn't realize Yellow Rose of Texas. LOL. And I also decided to make her Southern 5 minutes ago. So
there you go.
We're from Tennessee. I don't know. My mom has like this kind of
the
like.
Little tea state.
The little tea state.
Built of a Southern accent as my mama has. So maybe I'll just do like my mom's accent.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right. So here we go. famed and local hunter Harris Rampelmeyer has returned from his latest hunting expedition with a rather splendid trophy to mount on the tavern wall. Too bad he can't keep it. The beast he took it from wants it back. So badly, in fact, that a devilish pact seems to have been made. So, how will all of y'all trudge forward? Are y'all just kind of coming together? Are y'all longtime buddies, pals? How do you want to do this?
Oh, gosh, I believe we've known each other for a dog's age.
At least several fortnight.
We all went to high school together. Our high school reunion happens to be at this tavern.
Excellent.
I don't know.
And I was just that weird kid that ate paste in the back and grew up to be all beefy.
and ride lizards.
It was a band kid.
Yes, calm down, you.
Excellent. So everyone is going through the woods, traveling at night. You actually run into some goings-on in this cabin off to the side. What do y'all want to do?
Can we tell what's happening inside? Is it like a party or is it like murder? Those are the two options.
Yeah, well, based on those two options, a little of both, I would probably say.
Oh, geez.
Who wants to roll a perception check?
Oh. I'll roll a perception check.
Do you have good perception?
I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't think I do in this instance.
No, it's a 7.
I do get a +3, so that's 10 for perception, please.
Marcario got a dirty 18.
Ooh.
Okay, in that case, Marcario, I swear, dude, I always think of Mario Kart when I see Marcario. That's awesome. I don't know if I'm the only one. So anyway, Marcario, you see it. It's actually a murder party. This is what's going on. You see these...
Oh, whoa. I was so on the nose.
Yeah. You see, like, these demon-esque types of creatures trying to break through this cabin. And let me see. Was it Clappy? Did you roll the 10?
What's your name? Verona.
Yeah. Oh, Verona. You rolled the 10. You're looking on going, wow, they sure got a pretty mouth.
As one would, from Tennessee would say.
So they're still on the outside trying to break in, or they're in the cabin breaking through?
They're outside trying to break in.
Can I draw my boomerang?
Oh my Jesus.
So it looks like we've come across some little demonettes trying to break in.
Verona,
join in the fun?
I'm just drawing my boomerang. I have not made any move to throw it, but I'm ready, and I want to. Okay.
Can I wave and yell, howdy, y'all?
Oh, my God.
Well, you can.
Hold on. You can, absolutely.
How many do I see?
Well, hold on.
It's like 25. Right, you see 25 demons.
Let's roll a performance on that.
Oh, I don't have very good. That's going to be a 0. That's a natural 1 minus 1.
I think that it cancels out all the negative effects.
Yes, it does.
Starting off right.
Okay, as soon as you say that, all of a sudden, all of these undead creatures just stop and look all at you. And they start slowly making their way towards you now, away from the cabin.
First you said they were demons. Now you're saying they're undead. So are they more like zombies or are they more demons?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Clear as mud. Come, my pretties. Come to me.
Are we just posting up and waiting to attack them?
Verona will hiss at them.
No, hissing is a free action. Go ahead.
Can I actually roll intimidation with that?
You sure can.
Just for fun.
I couldn't quite hear you. Could you please repeat what you said?
Siri.
Absolutely not. That was demonic.
Siri, okay. Cast Firebolt.
The monster, the zombie was like, sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, that is a dirty 20 for intimidation.
Very nice.
And they rolled an 8. So, okay, so give me the mind picture. How do you intimidate these creatures?
I'm an itty-bitty halfling, but I'm very dirty and very feral. And you immediately get the sense that I have no boundaries. I will do whatever it takes. There's no limit to the lengths that I would go for chaos.
And at the same time, I use prestidigitation to make a loud roar come out of her mouth.
Oh, god dang, dude, that's
pretty... I love my high school buddies.
Keeping it real, yo.
Varsity tees.
I'm going to get my letter jacket for this.
I blink as a sign of entertained amusement.
Oh, you do that. You do that eyeball tongue wet thing that you do.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Okay. So
don't want to miss any of the action.
With that, they see this intimidating halfling just stand out there, and just the audacity, the cajones that this halfling has, and they all just turn tail and they haul ass out of there. It's not just demons, but it's like different types of fey types of creatures. You see a couple of rabbits, giant weasels, you know, some undead deer, wolves and hawks. You see a couple of undead dryads and pixies, even an owlbear. They're just all hightailing like, what the hell? Let's get out of here. We are done. And they book it out of there.
Attention all fairy tale creatures.
I didn't always tell me there was an owlbear.
Want a Shrek reference in my game.
So, too Mark, late, I'm sorry.
Markario over at Verona and just, why did you send away? You're taking away all my fun.
I didn't mean to send away. I also wanted to fight. It's not my fault that they're a bunch of yellow-tailed cowards. I'm a pirate now.
Argh, you yellow belly cowards.
Yol. Okay. And
with a boomerang and schizophrenia. Got it.
Love it. It works. It works.
It does work.
Yeah.
So okay. Who should go knock on the door to see who's there?
I mean, I'm real personable. I don't know.
I'll go ahead and handle this one.
Okay.
I say with my 8 charisma.
All right. So just to get ready, I pull out my shield and then I go ahead and signal my little giant salamander of your Star Wars.
Is it
my
little or giant?
The little giant.
He's my little giant and he is precious to me. Don't let anything suggest otherwise. And I signal for it to go ahead and go to the front door and it just goes and we just trample on over there.
So you're riding the salamander to the front door?
To the front door.
Okay. Just making sure I got that mind picture there.
Yep. And then I say, all right, signal boost. And then it turns around and it slaps the door with its tail.
Okay. So when you do that, the door opens wide and you see this fella. Let's see, he is a half elf. As you can tell by his garb that he must be a ranger. And he's like, oh, I thank you. I thank all of you. Thank you so much. Now, please get inside before they come back.
All right, little biggin, you heard him. Let's go inside. And so we both start trying to make our way through the front door. How big is it? It doesn't matter. I'll cut the door bigger if I have to.
Before who comes back?
Well, funny thing is, I don't know exactly, but I have an idea. I don't think I can quite believe it myself, but I don't know how they would be able to do it. Do you believe in hauntings?
Yes.
Excellent. Great. Get inside. Hurry.
I'll run inside.
Yep. Going inside.
I want it to be known that every time you make like a sound effect as the salamander, Rachel just like makes a like squeezed little face and puts her like hands on her cheeks because it's so cute.
It's just delightful.
It sounds like our cat that can't meow. He kind of just makes weird noises as well.
That's awesome.
It's incredible.
You hear that? You are appreciated, not just by me.
Okay, so everybody is inside. There's a small hearth to one side. Next to it is a shelving unit. There's also a bed piled with fur blankets in one corner. Let me see, around the kitchen hearth area, there's a shallow fire pit dug against one wall with a chimney above it to let out the smoke. It seems to have been cleaned of ashes very recently. Next to the hearth, there's a large cast iron pot and a skillet. On the other side is a shelving unit with various dried herbs, spices, and a few bones that Rempelmeyer claims to be saving the marrow for later. In this corner, let me see, the sleeping area. In the corner of that area, there appears to be a straw mattress covered with deer skin and layered with a bearskin blanket. Next to the bed, there's a leather-bound journal that appears to be well-loved and an empty lantern. Around the outside, there's a lean-to with some drying firewood and a few tools such as a woodcutter's axe, a hammer, a bucket, and a grinding stone. Around the back, there appears to be an area used for gardening. The entrance to the forest isn't far away. The garden itself, there are 3 rows of tilled sows, slightly damp. A few areas in the ground have sprouts, and there is an array of gardening tools nearby, including a spade, a rake, and a watering can. Nearby, there is a clothesline with drying shirts and a rack for drying hides. And he's standing there in front of you, and he's like, listen, I certainly appreciate y'all helping me out here.
Are we helping you out?
Yeah, y'all got rid of all that problem that was hanging around my front door.
We didn't mean to do that.
Well, certainly is appreciated.
Can you bring him back so we can fight?
Well, funny enough, not me personally, but they will be back, though.
Ooh.
See, because every night for the past several weeks, at the stroke of midnight, all that jazz begins, and they leave me no rest until the sun comes up.
What did you do?
You know, just undead animals. They just come around. That's pretty much it. You know, they're
have
just
you switched in the wood. Fertilizers?
Not recently, no.
No change in your routine? No new scents?
New detergent in your laundry?
Mm-hmm.
Diet, perhaps?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not necessarily, but you know what? That might be it, too. I should probably investigate my dietary intake for sure.
Well, module done. We fixed it, guys.
Markario's going to roll an insight check.
All right, go for it.
Natural 20 plus 5.
Ooh, yeah.
I think there's more to this than you understand or want to tell us. So I call bull crap on your story. Tell us the truth.
He's just kind of looking at everybody and does one of those little instinctive, you know, tugs around his collar like, oh, it's kind of getting hot in here. All right, I'll fill you in. A couple of weeks ago, I was out in the forest hunting for game. I had collected a couple rabbits in my snares, and I was heading home when I heard a sound of something big coming through the underbrush. I decided to take cover and investigate in case it was something big like a dire bear. As I watched through the bushes, a magnificent white stag came into the clearing with the biggest set of antlers I had ever seen. 24 point it was. Seeing the animal, I was overcome with a desire to own those antlers for myself, so I made a plan to hunt the stag and have the antlers as my trophy. Well, after a few hours of stalking, I was able to down the beast and took my prize. I regretted no being able to take all of the meat. I guess that's I regretted not being able to take all the meat and hide because I was already bogged down from the day of foraging, but I thought that scavengers might gladly take care of the corpse, and I went home that night thinking little of it. That was when the undead started coming. I've seen the stag in my dreams. It starts at my innocent first viewing and then morphs into a towering demon before catching me and sawing me in half. I scream and wake up. I have a feeling this all has something to do with my killing that stag, but I don't know how to stop it.
Where is the rack?
Little Biggin, you wouldn't happen to be laying on them, would you? So then he gets up. Does he see anything?
Let's see. Roll investigation.
Bingo's just going to find a good place to have a seat.
It was a dirty 20.
Well, with a dirty 20, you find a receipt on his little table for the tavern. He got some gold pieces for the stag antlers. So it's actually at the tavern. The Ogre's Mug Ale House is what you see on there.
So let me get this straight. This guy obsessively wanted to own these antlers for no real reason and then goes and sells them off.
Well, according to this, yeah. Well, let me see. He was so pleased with his kill that he opted to have the trophy, a splendid set of 12-point antlers, displayed over the mantle of local and much-loved tavern, the Ogre's Mug Ale House.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. but I figured it'd be funner to just sit there and say, oh, there's a receipt on there.
Look at you, little biggin, you're being helpful.
Yeah, trying to.
How much was it for, you said?
A couple gold pieces in this cabin.
And how many nights have they been coming around?
A couple of weeks ago, he went on a hunt, and it's been happening ever since a couple of weeks ago.
So you've been keeping these undead out of your house now for weeks?
Well, I've been keeping them from bashing through the door. They're just out there keeping me up at night, just harassing me.
Have you tried earplugs?
What are earplugs?
Well, any ideas, friends?
Did this start before you sold the antlers or after?
Before I sold them, for sure.
And it's only gotten worse or stayed the same since you sold them?
Oh, it's been progressively worse. The nightmare keeps getting worse and worse every single time.
You didn't think to get the antlers back?
No, trying to get them away from me as much as possible.
Well, that clearly didn't work.
I don't think that capitalism is going to solve your problem.
And you said you got this cabin as part of the deal?
Yeah, sure did.
Mm-mm.
But I'll tell y'all what, y'all can follow me over to the tavern, and we can get the antlers back from them, possibly return them back to where I killed that stag.
I was just thinking, if you could take us back to where the stag died, that might help.
If you bring the receipt, you have proof of purchase for them anyway.
So you sounds can
get the receipt and then be like, oh, that's how much you gave me. Here's it back. Now I'm going to take these antlers back and you're going to give it back to the demon to which they belong.
But you know what? That sounds like a hell of an idea.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a very good name. I just got to turn the sheets back here so I can see my own name. My name is Harris Rampelmeyer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we heard of you.
Master Rampelmeyer, I think we figured out the solution to your undead animal problem.
I can't believe you didn't think about it sooner.
Why, I didn't think about it sooner?
Yeah.
You might have been busy with
that. Yeah, these undead have been keeping me at bay. I could sure use some help. Tell y'all what, I will give you the cabin. I will give you the rights to everything that I have here. I just want all this to stop.
You could give us a house?
Yeah, why not? It's no use to me if all they're going to do is keep coming back and harassing me.
Well, I'm not much into home ownership or equity in that manner.
But... is there a mortgage?
I said, didn't you just say the cabin was bought with that money you got from the antlers? So the cabin's kind of, you might hypothesize that it's also part of the curse.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it just seems to follow me wherever I go.
Just you. Well, that's a shame. I wanted a property where I could fight every night.
Well, the woods is right back there. And he points to the back of the house.
That's where I live.
This fucking character is absolutely killing me.
Go feral or go home.
Yep, that's you, babe.
Freaking love it.
Not too far off. I kind of like it.
And y'all can do whatever you want with the house. For all I care, you can turn it into a store. Doesn't matter to me.
Fine, we'll take the house.
Let's get to this ogre mug ale house and get to the antlers first.
Okay, so with that, we'll push the story along and say that everyone had a good night's sleep, fully rested. So everyone got their skill checks back, I guess, because no one really lost any health at all. All right, so y'all are heading over to the tavern. You walk in the front door, and over at the bar, you see a bald-headed human, roughly about 260 pounds. And he looks at everybody. Howdy, how may I help y'all?
We're looking for a pair of antlers.
We got all kinds. Is there a specific one?
Demonic? I don't know.
I believe he said they were 24 point.
Everyone do a real quick perception check.
Bingo, got a 25.
That would be a dirty 20 for Marcario.
Callie got a 17.
Okay.
Is this perception?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a dirty 22.
Nice.
I'm glad we're using that.
And Zeus, what'd you get? Zeus got
Let me see.
He's busy looking at his eyes.
Well, it didn't help because I only got a 9.
Okay, so Zeus Kot, you look up and you just see the entire like top half of the tavern walls just covered in antlers. And you're looking for 24 point and you start thinking, maybe it's just like 12 and 12. Then you put that together with the other 12 and maybe, you know, it's a combination. Meanwhile, everybody looks above the bar and they see these two giant white antlers that have 24 points on them.
Have you noticed anything strange happening since those went above the bar?
Quite honestly, friend, I hate to tell you this, but the only strange thing that's happened is having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people come in right now and ask about them. Ever since they went up, they look nice, don't they? They're white.
Not really my color.
Well, we're gonna need to take them.
Well, buddy, I'm afraid I can't let you do that now. These are my pride and joy right now. Everyone comes in asking about these, and they're a great starter conversation piece.
Yeah, we got a receipt, so...
Well, that's great. You got a receipt. I still got my antlers.
But what's going to happen is this is going to make the antlers all the more important as a story point. You can have some replicas made and put them up, and you can say, those aren't the real ones, but the real ones caused this problem, and these adventurers came, the famous adventurers came in and had to take them to dispel a demon. You could tell this story. You could tell it to everybody.
Famous? Who?
Absolutely.
Who are y'all?
Us five. We are the famous five. You've not heard of us.
Never heard of no famous five. Need
There's a lizard riding a lizard in your bar right now.
I thought that was just a scaly chicken there.
It might be, but it's a lizard riding a lizard as far as you know.
So I've never heard of the famous five. You got to try something harder than that, or at least...
To make the short story long, we're going to need the antlers. We can compensate you with a house.
Oh, that old rickety thing outside town? No, thank you.
No, it's a different house.
Why do you say that?
Because I own a tavern, bud.
Let me sweeten the deal for you.
Wait.
Did you know that this cabin is visited nightly by a horde of undead and demons and all sorts of creatures that you can fight for free?
I don't feel like you know how to sell things to a bartender.
I tried the receipt.
I know.
That's his language, not his.
No.
It was a good try.
Hey, Bingo, okay, let her talk. I want to hear his response.
Yeah, let her keep going. I want to keep hearing this, too.
Babe, that was my pitch. If you don't want to be swinging swords and axes at dead deer that are walking around, and demons, and ogres maybe, like the one your pub is named for, then I don't even know what's the living for, if you don't want to do that.
Well, she makes a strong point.
Just now when you said ogre, you just sounded like Shrek to me, like fully Shrek.
Kick your ass.
All right, let's roll a persuasion on that one.
All right.
For who, me or her?
Her.
If you aid me, I wouldn't be mad about it.
I feel like I was.
Yeah, Verona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then roll with advantage, since Bingo, the intelligent.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the 2 points you gave me, Bingo. That is a solid 8, but it is better than the 6 it could have been.
So, wait, 18? I heard 18.
No, an 8.
No, I heard 18.
It was 18.
No, it was an 18.
Yeah, I heard 18, guys.
That is what I
that
heard.
Bad audio, man.
Natural 20. Oh, yeah. Ooh, oh.
No.
Even better.
Yeah. Someone's learning.
Jeez. Yeah, that bad audio really cuts in at the most inopportune time. So natural 20? He's like,
what? Keep the receipt for that natural 20.
So he's like, what? Demons? What, really? All night long? Shooey, sign me up.
Shooey, sign me up.
You just yeed your last haul.
I'm obsessed with these fucking characters. Oh my gosh.
All right, so y'all are very easily persuading this tavern owner to hand over the antlers for the deed to the house with all the demons and fun stuff at night.
Of course we are.
All right, y'all have a pair of antlers.
So we want to go back to the place where he killed this deer, right?
Yes. Yeah,
before we do that, I would strongly advise that we fasten these antlers to my salamander's forehead.
Yes. This is a plan I can get behind.
You know, and the tavern owner goes, hey, wait a minute, y'all. Before y'all go too far, I kind of feel a little bit out of place. I feel that some of y'all might need some mounts as well to kind of get y'all to where y'all going. And it just seems a little bit unfair for me just to take this house and, you know, all that it offers just off your hands just for a pair of antlers. So how about I throw in some mounts in there for you as well?
Can you throw in some beer?
How many casks?
Oh, how many casks, he asks.
Casks?
How many
as many as you're willing to part with.
How about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 5 of y'all, I'll do 10 casks, 2 each.
That sounds like a fair deal. What say the rest of you?
This is a high school reunion is what this is.
So we're looking at a 3-hour party tops.
Verona, do you want mine, or?
Are you still straight edge?
Yeah.
I don't expect that. That's fine. I'll take your case.
All right. Sounds good.
Even at a high school reunion? I'm saying nobody stays sober at a high school reunion.
Well, not a good one anyways.
Okay. Right.
We have our house now. Is it
so
time to leave?
Markario casts mending on the antlers as Zeus is holding them over top of his mount just so they to try to get him to attach.
Okay.
I allow this.
So now your mount has a beautiful
rack.
Well set rack.
Oh my god. Is this a Wookiee?
No need to thank me. You're all set.
As I gently kind of pat it on its head and give it a little scratch underneath its jaw.
The best.
Okay. So, Zeus, Ka, you already have your mount. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Bingo, the intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to roll a d20.
Mm-hmm. I did.
What'd you get?
Oh, I got a 12.
12. You get a a warg.
Of course I do. Intelligent creatures. Everybody knows this. I'll eat that lizard.
Let's see. Markario, you're next.
Aye. That would be a 19.
A 19. You get a dire boar.
Ah, what? Very good. Extra bacon. That's his name. Extra bacon.
Nice. And Verona?
7.
Ooh, you get a...
chicken.
Close. You get a hippogriff.
A twinker.
What?
That's way better than a chicken.
That's so cool.
That's the best chicken. The hippogriff's name is Chicken.
Well, it was she's, raised by chickens see, and only she, clucks.
She's catching on very well with this.
And Clappy.
A 3.
Okay.
You get a red dragon.
Okay. You want? No, I was going to say it's a monstrous spider.
What? That is the worst thing in the whole universe.
Okay, reroll.
Reroll?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, we already rolled 19, didn't we?
Well, I got several tables here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 19, I guess.
Okay, no, you have to re-roll, actually. That one was a giant porpoise, which has no...
I got another 19. Oh, my gosh. Okay, 11.
11.
Giant porpoise.
Yeah, it's on here. Giant porpoise, dude. Okay, this one says Dire Wolverine.
Ooh. Like a person?
Hugh Jackman?
Nope.
That's the name of my Dire Wolverine, Jackman.
A Dire of Jackman, yes. That's what you get.
Yeah, so the name of this Dire Wolverine is Hugh Jackman. But it's like the first name is Huge and the last name is Ackman.
Well, you're going to be writing Hugh Jackman the rest of the game. That's awesome. Oh, wow. That just turned into the name of the episode here.
I'm just trying to imagine the porpoise, like...
So, okay, Zeus, what is the name of your mount?
Oh, don't tell me his audio's cutting out. Jake.
Yes.
There you are. What's the name of your mount?
Yeah.
What is the name?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
It's already starting. Call it in, dude. Quick. Or you know what? Reset your thing, dude.
We'll go on without you.
Yeah.
We'll make a good podcast. We'll make you proud.
Yeah. Right. Or whatever that lizard thing is.
So Bingo, what's the name of your mount?
Worg.
So we have Worg, Extra Bacon, Chicken, and Hugh Jackman.
That's terrific.
It's just a great story.
It is. That in and of itself is an awesome story.
And also, as part of my urchin background, I have a pet mouse named Breakfast, if we also want to throw that mouse in there.
Just did. That's awesome.
He's not careful. He's going to be Breakfast.
I know.
You're hungry Hugh Jackman.
He's my mouse.
Okay, so everybody is following Rampelmeyer to the place where the slaughter took place.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, so real quick, I just pulled back the veil a little bit. So it looks like everyone is supposed to be trudging through. You're supposed to run into undead animals. There's going to be some extreme necrotic energy flowing through there. So, again, we're just going to blow through a little bit of this. The air here is heavy with the smell of rot and a sense of dread. In the middle of the clearing, there's an outline of a deer where no grass is growing and filled with a purple ichor that emanates a faint smoky mist. Through the slime, the bones of the deer remain. You each shiver, knowing instinctively that this is something most unholy.
Markario doesn't shiver.
Well, it says here you're shivering, so roll for constitution, dude. Roll constitution safe. Go.
That would be 16.
Oh, yeah, you passed, dude. You're not shivering. Okay, you're the cleric, right?
Yes.
Let's see. Now, as far as what y'all need to do next, anyone have any ideas?
Verona is going to lean over to Makario and say, I've still got the receipt.
Then keep it.
How big is the actual size of the skeletal structure? Is it like a huge stag or more just like a regular medium size?
You know, I'm going to say if it's a 24-point stag, it would be ridiculous if it was medium size, so I'm going to go with huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang. All
right.
Well, Mr. Rumblemeyer, I would say you may want to put the antlers back.
All right. Sure. Okay, so at this point, does he just take them off of the salamander?
As soon as he would go over there, they should just kind of pop right off because it was more of a mending spell, so it was just a light attachment, they weren't like fused.
They weren't stapled on.
No, they weren't stapled on. Nor super glue. No staples, no super glue. It's just kind of a minor mending, just because I know the antlers weren't supposed to go there. It was just for sake of the little bit of humor and storyline to get them from there.
No, I get that. I guess what okay. Bramblemire's more worried about is whether or not that beast will nip at him.
Maybe I'd say let Zeus help Mr. Rumpelmeyer get the rack off of Shirley.
Okay. Yeah, Shirley. I just pop him off.
Okay.
Got it. Okay, so he walks over and... he goes to move closer to where this ooze is of the deer, and immediately we see everybody sees this vengeful animal spirit begin to show up. There's a burst of energy from the center of the circle that takes you by surprise, and you are almost pushed back by force. The ichor covering the remains of the stag begins to bubble, and then the creature seems to rise out of nothing. It lets out a ferocious and pain-stricken cry.
I don't know what to do. Hear me out. What if we just let this animal that got hurt eat the guy that killed it?
Whoa.
That's not how my character would feel, I don't think. That's just how I feel. I'm Mackenzie Wilkes. Hello, I'm the new character.
So what you're suggesting is that we let the creature rise and then just kind of scamper away.
Yeah, we don't... Well, we shouldn't hurt it. It's already in pain.
No, this one is far from pain. This is much more.
As Markario has kind of had this very toothy, smiley grin going on.
What is it?
No, I agree. What is it? I think she deserves an answer.
Yeah, I'm letting y'all explore the room here a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it's more than pain, then what could it possibly be?
The evil in me is just kind of just bubbling up as I see this thing kind of start to... I'm watching it kind of reform as it's starting to... Right, as he puts the antlers down, everything's starting to kind of come back together as it's climbing up, kind of reforming.
It's not necessarily. It's more of like this spirit more than an actual deer.
Okay.
It's still caught between planes. Not dead yet. Not alive.
Was that it?
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Okay, and you're basing that on what?
Just how my character perceives it.
Oh, okay. So your character doesn't really know?
No.
Okay. Okay, in that case, let's see. Bingo the Intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please roll an Arcana check?
Oh, I can do that.
Okay.
Let me see. I rolled a 16 plus. Ooh, I have a plus 7 for Arcana, so I'm super smart. It's 23.
God damn, dude.
Don't mean to toot my own horn over here, but I know some things.
Toot, toot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so looks like. So you remember something you read about your studies, a simple summoning ritual. Draw a magic circle, place the offering, and recite the incantation. And you also know that what you're observing is, you really don't have your finger on it, but what you can figure out is it has the same kind of feel as a ghost. So you can tell that the cleric is dead wrong.
Well, unfortunately, I think the cleric, you might be off the mark on this one. It's more like a ghost than what you were describing.
What part of not dead and not yet alive is not describing a ghost?
Ghosts are dead. Everybody knows that. That's common knowledge. Everybody knows that, right? Ghosts are dead.
Then we've experienced different things.
Well, yes, I'm an elf.
Okay, cleric, let's see. Mercurio, roll me a religion check.
I want the record to show that Rachel is, like, having to cover her mouth to keep from laughing out loud.
Oh, please do. I want the audio.
I'm being good.
16.
Very good interactions.
Very much like your experiences are not universal.
And let's see, Bingo, what did you roll for your Arcana check?
It was a 23, I think is what it came out to be.
Yeah, the cleric's full of shit.
You see, cleric, I really just think that you are just right off the mark, just a little bit. Like, instead of being right, you're wrong. I get, there's no other way to put it.
Well, I could agree, but we'd both be wrong.
Except for me, I wouldn't be wrong, because I'm the intelligent one here. But I believe I remember it way back in my studies, there was an incantation, and it went, I think, like, Spiritus Obes Grovos. Ostende te adme facera tua presentia nunc.
What?
And
that's exactly how it went.
All right. And with that, it is appeased. Simply by showing it that you brought the antlers back, you recited the correct incantation, and you bury the antlers back with it. And even though this might be a boring answer, it's an easy way to end this adventure, and congratulations.
We didn't have to hurt nobody.
Hooray.
All right. Quick pause. Oh, crap.
Good news. Beer break.
Beer break. Everyone, yeah, beer break.
Beer break.
Yes. Okay, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with the beer break. I just got to replenish my frosty beverage before I get back to DMing. In the meantime, I want to brag about some of our friends out there. First, I'd like to talk about Common Ground Games. It's the number one D&D place of Dallas. They've got tables running D&D games almost every night of the week. If you live in the Big D area and want to sign up to play, check out their main Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store. And check out their website, BoardGamesDallas.com. Common Ground Games, because we all have the same common ground of playing games. Dungeon Painter Studio. It's a very powerful map design tool for both the seasoned map maker and the beginner map sketcher. It comes with a lot of features to help you create your very own world maps. And remember that you can always try the online version for free before you buy their highly affordable full version. Dungeon Painter Studio is available for purchase on Steam. And let me tell you about Dungeon Wives. They're a bi-weekly podcast where two WLW women in love play a one-on-one game of Dungeons & Dragons. Their story follows a young tiefling druid named Alkaini as she journeys in a new world, leaving the comfort of her home behind to follow a destiny greater than herself. Set in an original campaign setting designed by Dungeon Master Mackenzie. Check out their website to find more information about characters, the world, and both Rachel and Mackenzie at DungeonWives.com. And also, let me tell you real quick about our next episode. We're going back to the campaign of Call from the Deep, but this time we're going to be telling a different story in that same game. Specifically, a story about a highly elite special forces group known as the Ninth Cannoneers. Lastly, we had so much fun with the Dungeon Wives when we were recording. Mackenzie, Rachel, y'all are so awesome. We wish you all the success and happiness you so rightfully deserve. Hashtag D&D siblings. Well, that's all I got for the beer break. Time to get back into the action for the second half. Let's see, everybody roll a... Yeah, this is kind of a simplistic, very one-shotty kind of deal. So how about everybody roll a perception check?
Natural 20.
I got a 5.
Bingo got a 3.
Someone's not so smart now, are they?
16.
Okay, so it looks like Zeus and Marcarino. I still want to say Mario Kart.
Marcario.
It's pronounced Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Silence, Bingo.
All right, so the both of you turn around and you see 7 wraith-like bears approaching y'all.
What?
Let's roll for initiative.
This is going to be fun.
It would be 13 for Marcario.
There's a 22 for Verona.
13 for Calliope.
Bingo has rolled a 20 today.
Oh, that was a 20?
Yes, dirty 20. Yes.
Dirty 20. Okay. And see, Zeus. Zeus, Ka. You there? Roger, Wilco. Jake, you there?
Yes.
Okay, did you hear me roll for initiative?
Yep.
What'd you get? Okay, so we're having audio issues with Jake.
Could you describe what is approaching 7? You said bears?
Wraith-like bears.
Wraith-like bears. Would you say that they are dead or not dead or both?
Not dead.
Not dead.
I mean, they are decaying somewhat.
Yet not alive either.
Well, yeah, they're not ghosts.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
They rolled a 13 and a 5. Okay, so it's going to go Verona, Bingo the Intelligent, Calliope, and then Marcario. And then 2 bear attacks. I'll just do them in bulk there. And so Jake is going to be out for the rest of the night. Since they have audio issues, we can just kind of leave him out for now. It's no biggie. It happens all the time. All right, first up is Verona. You see 7 wraith-like bears approaching the party.
I'm going to unsheathe my boomerang. I'm going to make the executive decision that, yes, the boomerang is a decent portion of her body size. a little great sword for her, but it's a boomerang. It could be worse. So that's a 15 to hit.
15 hits.
All right. D4. Where's the D4? Okay, one plus, so that's five. For my first attack, I do get two.
Mm-hmm. Does the boomerang come back and you immediately throw it again?
No, just for cool factor. After she chucks the boomerang, she's gonna pull up her little hand crossbow and give it a shot at whichever bear she did not hit first.
Okay, so that first bear, you said it was five bludgeoning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's actually going to be a 3.
Okay,
all right. And you're going to use your crossbow for your next attack. Go ahead.
Yes, here we go. That is probably not going to hit. An 11? No, that's a 10. A 10 to hit.
Okay. With the 10, the bolt went right through the bear. Didn't affect it whatsoever.
Love it.
All right.
All right, I'm just going to catch the boomerang then as it comes around, a little chastened.
Okay, next up is Bingo the Intelligent.
From where I'm standing, are there any that are like in a line from my vantage? Or are they all just walking right next to each other like silly bears?
These are not silly bears. They're undead bears, and so there's no like pattern to them. It's very, very natural.
So very natural, silly, undead bears. Got it. I will cast Lightning Bolt at them. It's a third level spell. A stroke of lightning forming a line 100 feet long and 5 feet wide blasts out from you in a direction you choose. Each creature in the line must make a dexterity saving throw. The creature takes 8d6 lightning damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one. The lightning ignites flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried.
All right, so from what you're capable of doing, you're able to hit two of them. Excellent. And what's the saving throw?
Let me see. My saving throw, I believe, is 15. Let me check. Spell DC is 15.
Okay, one of them got a 15. And I'm sorry, that was dexterity?
Yes.
And the other one got a very hefty 3.
Well, one of them will take half as much. Let me see how many D6 I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. All right, that's 9, 12, 14, that's 18, plus another 6, that's 24. 24 for one of them and 12 for the other.
All right, describe how the one with 24 dies.
The lightning bolt hits him square in the chest, and the whole lightning just envelops him, and he starts sizzling and crackling, and that smell of burnt hair is so putrid. And then the other one is just like, ugh, that's horrible. My friend is charred.
I imagine this British undead bear, jolly, jolly good.
Oh, my friend, did you know that you just died from lightning?
greatness. All right, next up is Calliope.
So how many bears are there?
There's
six and a half, or yeah, five and a half left.
No, there's six left.
Five and a half. One of them's half done.
Okay, yeah.
Holy cow, there's so many boys. How far away are they?
I'd probably put them at about 30 feet.
Perfect. That's my range. So I'm going to...
120 feet.
Oh. Well, then stand there and cry. No. Are they actually 30 feet away?
Yeah, 30 feet.
30 cool. Feet. I'll step forward a little bit, but I'll basically like... I close my eyes and I put my hand in my chest over this sort of like a yellow rose that's like kind of embossed on my monastic robes, and I hold my hand there, and then when I pull my hand away from like where my heart is, this sort of light begins to form in my hands, and I hold my hands apart, and there are these sort of two just bright beams of yellow energy in my hands, and I just throw them both out at different bears. So the first one's gonna be a 9 to hit, which probably isn't gonna work. And the second one is gonna be a 24 to hit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that hits.
Cool. And that's 8 points of damage. And then I'm gonna use a key point. So I'm a monk of the Sun Soul. So that's my Radiant Sun Bolt. And I'm gonna use a key point to cast it for a third time as a bonus action. Whoa. So I throw those two out, and then I bring my hands back and I sort of wrap them around each other and kind of kamehameha push out a third one at the original bear that I missed.
Hadouken!
And that's a 19 to hit.
That hits.
Oh, that's so good.
And that's 7 points of damage.
It sure is.
Thanks, honey.
Motivational speaking at its best.
Y'all are the best. I love your dynamic. Love it.
I just love her so much.
I think you're a good
person. But that's my whole turn, is just throwing sun bolts at people.
Okay, so using the Kamehameha on the same bear or a different bear?
The two attacks that hit, I want them to go to different bears, I guess.
Okay, alrighty, cool.
Trying to, I don't know, I guess theoretically we could strategize and hit one at, but I don't know, I'm just spreading the love.
Okay, very cool. That one hits for how much damage?
Seven,
got it, alrighty. Yeah, I got a lot of bears I got to maintain here. And let's see, next up is the bears.
The bears.
So, hold on, you said, what was your, it was the way of the...
The Sun Soul, yeah, I think it's a Xanathar's one.
Okay, the Sun Soul, perfect. So, in that case, the bears roll right up on everybody.
Ah, hello!
And they're going to go for a multi-attack on everyone. First up is going to be Bingo. They got a 14 and a 19. But because sunlight was used with the Sun Soul, they now have to roll at disadvantage.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Yep.
So they got a 2 and a 16.
I heard a 2 and a 6, right?
Yeah, is my audio coming through? I thought I said 16.
Two and a 6, I thought, like, damn it. Now the second one, it may have made it slip through my armor this time.
And that's going to be with a little claw, you know, just a little tiny one.
Just so a little razor's edge.
A little scratch. And that's going to be for 6 points of slashing damage.
Oh, that's smart.
I love Bingo, dude. He's awesome.
Maybe right. Grow stronger next time and 6 won't hurt. Maybe and don't be wrong next time about ghosts and we could move through these problems faster.
Wow.
And Bingo was his name, oh. Oh, you use songs to learn names. It's cute. He's like a 2-year-old. Yes. Just wait, I'll show you how this handles. You saying you want to handle me? Not you. Oh, no. The lizard man? Are we still fighting the bears?
Yes. I'm just letting y'all go, dude. Do your thing. All right.
The bears just stopped to listen to the bickering.
Got their paws in their... Yeah, they got their heads in their paws. Just, this is entertaining. And with that, let's see. Markario, you're next. One of them rolled an 18 and a natural 20.
Oh, whoa.
Only you said roll with disadvantage, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So let me roll again.
You're welcome.
With a 13, with a 13 and a natural 20.
Damn it. Well, the natural 20 just barely hits.
Just barely hits, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be a bite and a claw. 1d6 plus 2, that's going to be a 4. And then 2d4 plus 2, that's going to be 5. So 4 and 5, that's 9. Double that, that's 18 of piercing and slashing.
Very well.
Okay. And next up is Verona. You get another bear right up on you.
All right.
With a 2 and a 5.
Absolutely not. She's going to go, try it. Just try it. And hiss again.
And then, so they're going to roll again for disadvantage to see if they can get a natural 1. One of them did. The other one got a 16. So we're going to have to go with the 1 and the 5. And one of them inadvertently attacks the other one with a bite for 3 points of piercing damage, and that bear is looking very, very, very horribly bad. This is one of the ones that got annihilated the first round. Okay, next up is Calliope.
Now that they're up my butt, I'm gonna try to use just my fists to, I assume there's just like one in front of me, right?
Well, I have one that's moving up on you.
Cool. Then I'll just 2 fist attacks on that one, I guess.
As a reaction?
Oh, I thought this was my turn. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no worries. You can take a reaction if you want.
I don't know if I have. I only have deflect missiles, so unless it's going to throw something at me.
I think it's going to throw its claws at you. Hold on, let's see what happens here.
I don't know if that counts as missiles.
Twist it off, chucks it.
Yeah.
When the DM asks you if you're a god, you say
yes.
Yes. Yes, I would like to take my reaction.
Okay, so one of them got an 8 and a 1. Reroll that. That's a 5.
That does not hit, no.
So I'm going to say that this thing lunges at you. It's already decaying as it is a wraith-like bear. So I'm going to say that the claws do constitute as projectiles.
just so I can use deflect missiles.
Why not?
Yes. Go for
it. Yeah.
Oh, well, it missed me. So I use deflect missiles if I get hit with a ranged weapon attack. I don't need to waste my key points if it didn't even hit me.
You can do a really cool, like, maneuver away.
Dodge?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, dodge is like how the straight man does it. But a maneuver is like a fancy. Exactly. You maneuver.
You know what? That sounds so inspirational. I'm going to give y'all inspiration points to make that happen.
I don't even know what you want me to do, honey.
I want you to do something cool as shit. I want you to like flip over backwards.
Catch it and throw it back at the bear.
Some Kill Bill stuff.
Calliope, it's an open floor right now.
I don't even
know it. This is your time. This is your stage. You said, I love you. I support you.
You said Kill Bill stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Do it.
I'll pluck the bear's eye out. Can that be the missile I catch?
Do it.
Just created a missile.
Just created
the bear's eye out just to throw it back at it.
Go for it.
Yeah, she's pulling the bear's eye out just to deflect missiles.
I don't know what my wife wants me to do. I heard Kill Bill, and I love that fight. I don't know.
All right. Make it happen. Roll it.
What do I roll?
High?
I rolled an 18 naturally.
You sure did.
Plus, probably 7, so I guess like a 25 or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. Ooh. You gouge out this slimy, gooey eyeball out of its socket. Matter of fact, you do it so well, you hook your fingers and you dislodge the other eyeball as well.
Oh my god!
And congratulations, you now have bear eyes in your hands.
Use them wisely.
Okay, so that's one inspiration point that I gave you. Now, what's your next inspiration point now that you have these two eyeballs in your hand, in your possession?
For better hallway vision.
what are those things that are like balls tied together with string that you throw at people's feet to like trip them
bolo.
Up?
A bolo. Bolo.
Can I make that with the eyeball string?
You sure can.
Like tie them together and throw them at the feet of the bear to try to trip it?
All right, roll it.
But I'm rolling. Oh, I rolled a 3.
With advantage.
With advantage, because of the sun.
I rolled a natural 1.
Oh, no.
No, we didn't hear that. What was that? You cut out.
Natural 20. I don't know.
Wow. How convenient. Wow. Oh, damn. Y'all are so good. Jeez. Y'all are so good, it's unbearable.
There's the dad joke.
That one hurt.
All right, top of the order, Bingo, you're getting attacked by another bear.
What? I didn't go.
After I do all that shit, I'm still getting attacked.
Yeah. And he skips me.
Well, it's still the bear's turn.
It's still the bear's turn. There were like 7 bears or 6 bears now, and there's 4 of y'all. So
I killed one of them, and nobody else has done anything.
Right. So,
no, excuse me. So,
waiting my turn, clown.
Yeah, waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, so if there's 4 of y'all, and there's 6 bears, and only 4 bears went,
The other 2 attack Mario Kart.
Sounds good to me. Rolling. That's an 8 and a 3. Let's see. Roll again. 18 and 1. So that's an 8 and a 1.
Neither one of those would hit Bingo the Intelligent.
And neither one hit.
Much too swift.
So it looks like the one that rolled the 1 created an opportunity attack for Bingo.
Excellent. I like opportunity attacks. I would probably just take a swipe at it with my staff. Let me bring that up real quick. I think I have one of those. Yep, I have a quarter staff. I just take a swipe at it with my staff.
All right, roll it.
Ooh, I probably will not hit. I have a 10 plus 3, so 13.
Roll with advantage, because of the sun soul.
Oh, yes, thank you. Rerolling. I got a 16 plus 3 is a 19.
That contacts.
All right, that's 1d6. I rolled a 3 plus 1, 4. 4 points of damage to the silly little bear.
And explain to me how you destroy that silly little bear.
Well, easily, with my bow staff right on its head. But bow staff, it's an elven bow staff. It goes right into the head. It splits the eyeballs. The eyeballs pop right out. And look at that. We can have another set of bolos for people.
Right. Okay, and the last bear going after Macario is a 7 and a 9. Roll a disadvantage, 17 and 9. So that's a 7 and a 9.
No.
Okay, top of the order is now Verona. You are up.
Gonna get that trusty boomerang going again. Does a 19 hit?
19 does hit.
Hurt. Oh, very nice. So that is 8 points of damage.
All right, explain how you kill that bear.
Are you just smacking it with a boomerang?
Yes, I'm gonna like hurl that boomerang at the bear, and it will neatly slice its head off as it comes back to me. And then I have another attack.
Go for it.
So I will target another bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the boomerang back. Ooh, unfortunate. That is a 11 to hit.
Roll at advantage because of the sun soul.
Oh, that's right. Thanks, babe.
Of course, honey.
That's
screw it up.
That's 12. We've progressed by 1 point.
That hits.
All right. Okay. I'm not mad about it. I'm not going to question it.
Yeah.
That was a 3 plus 7.
Explain how you kill that one.
Oh no! I used my super cool one on the first one. Let's see. Oh, this time instead of throwing it kind of the proper way to throw a boomerang, you know, sort of like a frisbee. Well, not that's not the proper way. You know, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
You pretend like a. You know, pretend like I'm a boomerang expert. That's how you would normally do it. But what Verona does this time is she throws it like a throwing knife. But the boomerang still does come back to her. So it's going to land dead center in the middle of that bear's unfortunate skull. And to keep the eye thing going, I say that when the boomerang returns, it like yanks the little...
The eyes.
Yeah. Brings it back.
Gotta yank all these eyes.
Let's see. Next is Calliope.
Okay. So I'm gonna go up to. I assume there's a bear in front of me. Is it still the blind? Is the blind bear still alive?
That one is still alive.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. I'll take 2 attacks on it then, I guess.
All right. Roll it.
The first one is a 12.
That one hits.
Cool. And then that's 6 points of damage.
All right.
And if it's alive, I'll hit it again.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a 15 to hit.
That one definitely hits.
And that's 8 points of damage.
All right, describe how you kill it.
Yeah, so it's like a little fear tied together with its eyeball bolo, I guess. And I basically like, I feel like it's like maybe leaning its head down to try to gnaw its own eye stalks off of its legs.
Oh my gosh.
So disgusting. And so I kind of like, I run up and I'm little bitty and I'm like 3 feet tall. So I like slam my foot on its head to like push myself off like I'm doing gymnastics. And then I basically like do sort of a turn and then I just come straight down on it with both fists in the middle of its spine and just kind of push it into the ground.
Yes. Damn.
And as I'm standing on top of it, are there any more bears around me?
There are 2 bears left.
As I stand on top of the bear I just killed, I form this like fire in my hands and I cast Burning Hands as a bonus action using my key points. I'm gonna use 3 key points.
Yes.
To cast it at second level. So they have to make dexterity saving throws. I mean, I assume if I can get them in a 15-foot cone at least.
Okay. What's the dexterity save?
Oh, it's only 13.
Oh, it doesn't matter. They got a 2 and a 3.
Oh, nice. So they're going to take... I stand on top of their friend's corpse, and I throw flames out at them.
That's
20 points of fire damage.
Each?
Yes.
All right. So how do you annihilate both of them?
Yeah, basically, like, I don't know. I feel like she's very sweet, but when she's in battle, she knows how to take care of herself. So, yeah, after I slam my fists into that bear into the ground, I center myself, and then I kind of, like... Yeah, I just sort of clasp my hands together, pull it out, and make this sort of like line. It's like accordion of fire. And then I slam my hands together, and it like shoots out in this 15-foot cone. And both of the bear's eyes get very wide as it's like it looks. I want it to look like Daffy Duck, and I just got hit with flames, and so like all the fur is like is like blackened and flat and shooting back, and they just sort of eyes wide just. Both fall to the ground in unison. Just
there's like a sick guitar riff behind you.
Damn.
And that cost most of my key points, but it was cool.
Very, very cool. Very cool. All right. And with that, we are out of combat. Holy
Hooray.
Hooray.
And there was much rejoicing.
Hooray. And with that, Rampelmeyer is looking around with his eyes just shut tightly, and he slowly opens up his eyes. See, everything has just subsided, and he just starts laughing hysterically. He gives y'all a pouch and just takes off running like, it's finally over. It's finally over. I'm out of here, Jack.
So wait, Rampelmeyer was standing there the whole time?
Yeah, scared out of his wits. Yeah.
Great hunter.
And let's see, y'all look inside the pouch and you see the amulet of birdsong. The wearer can understand the secret language of birds as long as they are wearing the item and gains a +1 to all nature rolls.
That's so fun.
I'll let y'all decide who takes that over.
Well, I don't think that Bingo would find much use out of that.
Nor would I.
Who wants to talk to the wee birdies?
I mean, it feels like something you might do. You live in the woods.
I did just name my hippogriff chicken.
You can talk to your hippogriff, baby. I don't know. Are hippogriffs birds?
It's a different dialect.
Well, it is now.
Oh, awesome. All right, guys. Thank you all so much for playing with us.
Thank you. This is so fun.
So much fun.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
All right. You too. Hey, is it okay if we post about having recorded, or do you keep it under wrap?
You can post about recording.
Cool. I wanted to post and say we had a great time. So.
Oh, thanks. All right. Y'all have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
They're game science.
They're
I love
so
these.
Sharp and pretty.
I love these dice so much. They're like the ugliest color too. I don't know why I got these. They're canary yellow.
Canary? Oh no.
I just was like, I want some yellow dice, and then I got the canary yellow because that's all he had in stock.
Why yellow?
I like having dice motifs for characters, and her thing is like gold and yellow and red.
Okay.
And deep reds, and so I have like a red with gold ink, and I was like, oh, I'll get a yellow with gold ink, and they look interesting. The character's also kind of yellow, so I was like, I'll use them for this too.
Yeah, sorry, I'm actually home alone with the 3 kids, and after I put the 2-year-old back into bed, turns out the 10-year-old was still taking a shower for now that's been going on for an hour.
What?
Hollywood.
That is decadence.
That's cute. What? 3 kids. Must
why
be
are they
nice.
Taking an hour-long shower?
Well, because...
dirty children.
No. Here's why. Because he figured out that he can take my washcloth and stuff it in the drain and turn the shower into a tub.
That's is it not a tub? Is it like just a shower?
It's a stand-up shower, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. My mom had one of those at her house.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it would have been cute had it not been that I just repaired the shower because there was a crack in one of the corners. I'm like, I don't need to test its durability, pal. Not tonight, okay?
No.
You need to wait 3 to 5 business days before you play around like that.